Well, we're going to take a departure tonight from Zephaniah, and we're going to deal with something that's very practical and something that the Lord's burdened me with and laid on my heart to preach. Certainly not a fun thing. It's not a pleasant thing at all. It's not enjoyable. Zephaniah, even with all of the condemnation of the Lord upon the nation and the witness that that is to us and everything, that would be much more pleasurable than this. But it's something that's necessary and needed in our day. And if this is the last cycle, you know, I've been saying that. There's been cycles and up and downs in society and nations given over to wickedness and they dissolve and be overtaken by others and such as that. We know that one day it'll be the last cycle, you know, when the world will rise up against the Lord and that'll be the ultimate end of it. All things that are good and pleasing to the Lord and of the Lord and all that will come under attack. And the Lord will bring to pass all the things that he's told us about in his word, about judgment and the man of sin and the nations that rise up against Israel and he delivering Israel, he getting rapturing before that, his children out and all that. We don't know. We don't know if we're at the last cycle or just another cycle. But we do know we're closer than we'd ever been before. And that being the case, there's a lot of things that goes on around us. There's things that that we in our old man could be susceptible to. Our souls have been saved. We have the Spirit of God living within. But our bodies and our minds have not been saved and therefore are still corruptible and corrupted by this world, the way of the world, and just the way of the flesh. And so I invite you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 29. I know a fellow that one of his children had given him a plaque that says this decades ago. And I noted that. I thought that that was interesting that they gave him this. And indeed, he is a diligent man. But the scripture says here, the Lord tells us in verse 29 of Proverbs 2, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings." He'll be elevated. He'll be lifted up. He'll have cause to have a standing that will be notable. Okay, that's for the man diligent in his business. "He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." And that's what we want to look at in this message and more than likely other messages. What's the Lord say about being mean? It's rare in the scriptures for this word, this is the only occurrence of this word in the Old Testament that means what it means. And a synonyms for this word mean is talking about dark or blackened or dim, okay? Dark, blackened, or dim, if that's the literal synonyms of that. It's not talking about the average Joe, okay? That's typically in the day that, in modern English, in the day that our King James translation was put together, the word mean, we have this, and I don't know, I can't tell you the tenses, but what do you mean by what you're saying, okay? The intent, that's one definition of the word mean. What's the meaning of this? That's not what we're talking about. Another word and or another usage of it is in maybe math. We would understand it mean. Mean is like the middle, okay? And then relative to descriptor of things or people, there's that's the average Joe mean. It can also mean lower, okay, which is more the direction of what this word is. And in our North American, in the British and in the North American it's taken a turn to where it's this. Today, it still carries those definitions of the average Joe or those that would be found in, like the scripture says, baser men were gathered together against some of our brethren there, against Brother Paul and his troop. But today, a more common definition of the adjective mean is talking about being unkind, spiteful, or unfair. Or as it's come about in North America, it can go as far to mean vicious or aggressive in behavior, to be mean. And what's the Lord say about being mean? What does he say about being mean? We might understand in Bible language that these passages can give us a sense of the word. In Psalm 71, verse number 4, Psalm 71, verse 4, the psalmist declares and cries there, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." And being mean, it's another way to describe it as cruelty. And let's say this, let us understand this. God never has been, is not, nor ever will be mean. He will never be unfair. He will never be cruel. He will never be vicious or aggressive in an untoward way. His justice and his judgment will require him to be a man of war in the day, in the Lord's day. But it'll all be done in righteousness. And those things of vengeance, as we'll see, and we'll get to that, and those things of domination and vengeance for sin and that, those are fruits of the Spirit not given to you and me. The Spirit of God will be there working in the day that the Lord Jesus wipes out all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Just pause and think about that. And with the sword of his mouth, he will fight against them. And the scripture tells us in Zechariah that they're just going to melt away before him. That's literally going to happen. Because vengeance is the Lord's. It doesn't belong to you and me. Vengeance is not ours. But it is a work because the Spirit of God will be there active as Jesus speaks to accomplish what he says will be. You can look in the book of Revelation and see what's at the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. The seven spirits of God. Okay, so he has them before him. In Psalm 27, verse number 12, again, another verse that maybe it brings in the sense of this about being mean. "Deliver me not over the will of mine enemies," Psalm 27, 12, "for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." What does the Lord say about being mean? Well, first we want to look at why is someone mean? Why is someone mean? Well, it all goes back to sin. Sin and depravity. That's the source of the meanness in us that comes out, that rolls around in our hearts and in our heads and then comes out in action. Remember our conversation. It starts with what we think. It's manifested quickly by what we say. And many times it's ultimately carried out by our hands and our feet and our body. So why is it that someone is mean? Well, you know, the scripture says, you know, so many verses, I trust. "Wherefore it was by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for the all have sinned." We are all naturally mean. We've got it in us to be mean. Yeah, even sweet little girls can be mean. because of sin, depravity. But in the course of life, and these are not excuses, these are just understanding about how it can be why someone is mean as we deal with the subject. The saddest, I believe, of these is that it is so that youngsters can be taught to be mean. Have you ever seen that in children, where they're taught to be mean by those that are over them? I tell you, that's a sad thing. Little children, babies, toddlers that are taught to curse and swear and carry the attitude of their family, their fathers, their mothers, their grandparents, their aunts, uncles, so on, all the cousins. And they teach them things that are not fit to be done or said by adults. And they teach them as little children to say and to do and to develop an attitude in them. Little children can be tormented so. They can be tormented and abused, backed into a corner, if you will, and be taught to be fighters and brawlers and to be mean. To just look to where their outlook on life is just sculpted and fashioned to where they're just going to be mean to survive, because those closest to them have treated them so very terribly. It's a sad thing, isn't it? It's a heavy thing to think about being taught to be mean. But then others are mean and can be mean. We can be mean because we've been hurt. We've had something come across us, something that someone's done. Even as I described before, we've been hurt. And not knowing what to do with that hurt, we can take, and because of that hurt, because of fear of being hurt again, we can retaliate. We can look to protect ourselves by being mean. Being mean makes it to where nobody's going to get close to you if you're mean. You don't have to venture any risk if you're mean. You don't have to expose yourself if you're mean. And so some people, they've been hurt, and so they're mean because of that. Others experience things that, by virtue of being jealous or envious or covetous. There's two aspects of this. To be so jealous or envious or covetous regarding what they have that they can let no one else touch it or have it or use it. Now, I speak in general terms. And in each and every subject of life, there's delineation between what's right and what's wrong. A man's wife is his wife, and is to be shared in regards to being a wife by none other. But from the standpoint of being a friend, we all are to have friends. We have our family. We can be jealous over people. We can be jealous over stuff. We've got it, and we just don't want to turn loose of it. Some can be mean regarding that because they're afraid they're going to lose it. Or them. They can't be comfortable where they're at with that or with that person. Or there can be jealousy, envy, and covetousness over what's not had. Don't have it. Jealous and envious of those that do. And this isn't necessarily speaking about things. This can be talking about character or virtue of life or way of a person that is following what's right. Someone can be jealous and envious of that, and it can run so hard and so deep that they can become mean because of it. Young people, beware. become very comfortable with you and your life before the Lord, that you are living before the Lord. And young people, you are in the care of your parents and your guardians during the time of life while you're growing up. But when you come to adulthood, it's you and the Lord. And we need to be teaching our children for that next step. So jealousy, envy, covetousness over what we've got, and we're just so afraid to lose it, or we don't want to share. And the thing is, and I understand about, in regards to things, you know, somebody made a joke one time and said, wait a minute, we talk about sharing all the time to our children, but then we make such a staunch stand against socialism. You know, you understand, socialism's talking about, and communism's talking about, everybody's everything's going to be shared by everybody. Well, there are property rights, and you do have things, but the Lord would have us to be generous, wouldn't he? And hospitable. Not all sealed up. What if our Lord was jealous over his creation and the stuff that he has? Where would we be? We wouldn't have a stitch on our back, anything, nothing to eat, nowhere to live. But is he not liberal? He is. He's liberal. He's liberal in the right way, in the blessed way. Folks can become mean because they're insecure. Insecure, and I alluded to this earlier, insecure. They're insecure in their life and in their skin and their place in life. They're found in a place where they always must validate themselves. Validation. Got to have validation. Validation. Not a comfortable place between them and the Lord. And they are how the Lord has made them. And that's where they are. That's how they look. How we are made. How we've been equipped. How we've been blessed with ability and talents and the place that the Lord's given us, to become comfortable with that. Lord, this is the life that you have given me, and this is good and this is right. And no, it's not like everybody else's, but this is mine that you've given me. No, there's insecurity. There's a continual need for validation by others rather than the Lord. I gotta make sure everybody else is good with where I'm at, or I've got to look good. Insecure, must be validated. They do so by showing that they're stronger, or validate themselves by showing that they're smarter, or they're stuck in a comparison contest with all others in their life. How do I shape up? And there's this rating system that goes on within people. I know 1,000 people. I know 100 people. And where am I in that? No, what matters is what God says about you and me. I tell you what, This is a thing that indeed I believe is most helped by understanding what it says in Micah, that we walk humbly with our God. To fear him, to listen to him, and not be stuck in this way of comparison that is running along in the world. Folks become mean and dealing with insecurity and this continual validation because they're condemned by the well-doing of others about them. There's the comparison about stuff, talent, looks, style, all kinds of things that the advertising just pelts us with. But in their insecurity, they can't deal with the talents and the well-doing of others about them. They feel like because of what the Lord has gifted that person with, they can't do that or haven't been called to do that. They think they're less. No. No. Every person is responsible for what God has given them. But this will, when this is at hand in their hearts and minds, they'll In this, they'll see the well-doing of others, say, and and they'll lash out and allow that to cause them to be mean. Or they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed about themselves, they're embarrassed about their children, embarrassed about their spouse, they're embarrassed about everything. They live in a continual place of embarrassment. And because of that, they can allow and it causes them to be mean. Another reason that someone can become and is mean is because they want their own way. Just want their own way. Don't get their own way, then look out. Now again, there's aspects of all different kinds of things. We men are to be the leaders of our household. And there's decisions that come down that the man of the house needs to make. And every decision that is relegated to our wives or to our children, even in the operation of our home, we're responsible for, but we've got to teach and allow and let those things be in their right place according to the Word of God. Sometimes the father has to make the decision. But sure better be making the decision that God has made, not the decision that we would make out of spite or just a flex of our muscle because we've been crowded by a thing. There needs to be right reason and logic and obedience to the Lord in it. But sad to say, we live in a day where those that are my age and maybe a few years younger, or if they don't get their way, man, they pitch a fit and they'll do it publicly without even flinching and become mean. Another reason that folks might be mean, might be found to be mean, is they are not meek, but they're conquerors. Just want to dominate people. I mean, that's how Hitler got to where he was at. That's how Stalin got to where he was at. Mussolini, Alexander the Great, Nebuchadnezzar, conquerors, going to dominate. And to dominate, be mean. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar's threat was? Chop them up, make their house a dunghill. Right? We hear that over a few times in the book of Daniel, right? And then lastly, and there's certainly more, but someone may be mean. Why is someone mean? Because they can be. They're just mean because they're able to be mean. You know, this thing of lasciviousness that's talked about in the Bible, the lack of restraint that we see in our day, you know, give consideration. Just because you and I can do something, because we can perform it, we can accomplish it, we can pay for it, we can get there to do it, doesn't mean necessarily that we should. We need to find out what the Lord says about it. Some people are just mean because they can be mean. Sad to say, in their life, they like to be mean. I would imagine that it is so in some people's lives, as that's all they're used to, is mean. And unless there's a healthy dose of mean going on, things are not stable. It's rough stuff, isn't it? What does the Lord say about being mean? Well, let's take a look over here tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a descriptor of the day that we live in. And all these things, even as the children of God, you and I are subject to be influenced by. It's found in the world. It's found in the media. It's found in all the advertising. It's found in all the entertainment. It's found everywhere. And to escape our exposure to it and our children's exposure to it is nigh unto impossible. But here's what the scripture tells us. This know also, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I tell you what, in this cycle, we're in it. We're in it. Peril is at hand. When we are faced with things that we have to negotiate about our safety, we have to give consideration, and we're called as of the Lord to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And then we have all of this wickedness in the government and the leadership and generally speaking in the people of the nation crept in into the people of God and the Lord's churches and such as that too. I mean, we're influenced. We are influenced. It's a perilous day, and it is so because of this. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And there's about a 3-point list of how you can describe that. I've described it here, and why someone might be found to be mean, why someone is mean, they want their own way. Men shall be covetous, wanting what they don't have, or looking by all means to keep what they do have. Wanting what another has, enough to go and steal it from them, or even kill them to take it from them. Boasters, braggarts, proud, blasphemers. We see this in our day, don't we? Every point for the last 10, 15 years, 20 years, every point, foundational point that God has given mankind to live by has been under assault. One by one by one by one by one by one by one. I mean, touching upon every single one of them. You go to Genesis chapter 1 and just start going down the line of what God gave mankind, gave us to live by, and they're ticking that one off, ticking that one off, ticking that one off, ticking that one off. Blasphemers. Proud. As we read recently about how it is so, Sunday, they become wise. And in doing so, have become fools. Disobedient to parents. You know, young people, know this. Remember, being disobedient to your parents is shortening your life by the promise of God. Children, honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That it may be well with thee, that thou livest long upon the earth. It's the first commandment with promise. Don't disobey your parents, but obey them. Unthankful. Having a world of blessing, provision, accommodations, clothes, food, all the necessities, the basic necessities of life. But going beyond that, do you realize that there's life beyond the necessities of life? You know, the necessities of life are just the basic things indeed that we do need. But life is made up more of just eating and drinking and wearing clothes. A life lived well is a life of relationships. It's a life of relationships. And being mean breaks down relationships. And that is what's life all about. You know, because when it comes time to die, laying on our beds to die in the hospital or at home, what's the clothes going to matter? What's the car going to matter? What's the tools that I like and enjoy going to matter? What's the stuff in the other room going to matter? What's going to matter is if there's somebody to come there and hold your hand while you take your last breath, that cared enough to show up, to be there with you when it came the time for you to pass on from this life onto the next. Clothes and cars and food and houses, they don't care if you're mean. But meanness sure breaks down relationships. The thing that does matter. Having a world of stuff, the things of life, and then having spouses and children and grandchildren, parents and aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters in Christ, friends and neighbors, acquaintance. And the world is unthankful. Let us not be unthankful. Unholy. That means the opposite of the direction God's going. Is God ever mean? No. God is never mean. And God has never told us to be mean. Without natural affection. You know, it's said, we can well be the harshest and the hardest on those that are closest to us. And that's a sad commentary on us. Again, the blessings of the Lord to have so near relationships and not have that natural affection. Be kinder to the stranger than we'd be to our own. Well, that's the way of the world. That's what a perilous time will show. Truce breakers. Have agreements, break them. Have agreements to do and to provide, to accomplish things, and break it. Making a promise knowing that you're not going to fulfill it. Just for show. Of course, this is the time that we meet together as nations to make a truce and make an agreement. And we make the agreement and shake hands because it looks good, with no intention to keep it. None. False accusers. Well, we live in a day of that, don't we? The false accusation is all it takes to ruin somebody. It doesn't even have to be true. Because, see, there's not a desire for truth anymore. There's desire for sensationalism. There's a desire for what's gritty and seedy and nasty, and just jump on that and heartbeat without even any proof. False accusers, incontinent, fierce. We see that in our day, don't we? Fierceness. Fierceness and aggression. Despisers of those that are good. Yeah. The righteous man ceaseth. Hating those that look to follow the way of the Lord, that are sincerely trying to follow the Lord. Hating that. Traitors. We're seeing that more and more in our nation, aren't we? Heady. Proud and self-wisdom, conceitedness. Can't be told anything. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Just give me the next enjoyment and the next thrill. And forget about God. Having a form of godliness, and indeed we have this in this day. You know that form of godliness? You know what it is? It's a facade. It looks godly, it looks right, but on the inside, there's nothing to back it up. Nothing to back it up. It looks good. It looks like it's all okay, but on the inside, God is not even known. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. No, no, don't you go and take that Bible and put it on me. I'll not have that. From such, turn away. Can we say here of these things that the Lord has described to us, can we say that any of these things are not mean? They're all mean, aren't they? And what does God say about it? I think the indication is that it's sinful and it's wicked. May God help us that we not be caught up in the way of our day. In conclusion for tonight, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 17, the scripture says, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul." Remember what mercy is? Even though there is a fault, and it requires a just action of condemnation and punishment, mercy is to say, "No, I'm not going to. I'm going to forgive." Unforgiveness is a trait of the mean. But he that is cruel, he that is mean, troubleth his own flesh. Because see, with meanness, there's bitterness that's at hand. And bitterness is indeed a corrupter. Bitterness, once bitterness gets going, you it's hard to get it stopped, because you know what? It goes out and it defiles many. That's what bitterness does. It is just, it just crawls and creeps. Merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. And in regards to meanness, we need to remember, as the Lord's children, Galatians 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." And we're going to talk about that, of mocking, going to preach about that. Mocking, that's an element of those that would pursue after meanness, is mocking, a mocking spirit. God is not going to be mocked about sin. He's not going to be mocked about men, women, boys, and girls being mean. God is not mocked. He will indeed bring it to judgment. "For whatsoever a man or a woman or a boy or a girl soweth, that shall he also reap." And we don't want to reap here nor there what's to be reaped by being mean, do we? I pray not. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the standard that you must meet to be saved. He's the only begotten Son of God, the Son of God, one of the Trinity, God Himself, and He became a man, and He lived as a man. And for any person to meet the glory, the righteousness, the justification of God, you got to meet up to what Christ Jesus has done. And understand, the news is none of us can do that. We don't have it. We started off coming out of our mother's wombs at a deficit and can't catch up. I mean, we can't make a move to the positive anyway. But you know what Jesus did? He became a man and He lived, and He is that standard, that lamb penned up for 33 years. He's impeccable. No thought of sin, no sin, no unrighteousness, not the iota of unrighteousness found in Him one at all. And in the prime of his life, he gave himself, laid down his life and shed his blood, poured out his soul unto death on the cross of Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago. And he did that to pay the debt of sin for those that would believe and trust in him. And not only did he die, he was buried, and he lay there for 3 days and three nights. And you know what? His body didn't decompose. No rigor mortis. You know why? Because he's holy. He's divine. But he lay there, his body dead. And after 3 days and three nights, he took his life back again. And he lives forevermore. Not only by his death and his payment on Calvary and his shed blood is he able to pay the debt for a sinner's sins, to pay for your sins, but he is also able in that to give you everlasting, eternal life. That a sinner like you can be forgiven and that you can live forever beyond this life in a body like Christ and with him forever. Brother Jim, what do I have to do to get that? There's nothing you can do. What the call is unto you is to admit that you're the sinner that needs to be saved, that you're guilty. You're the kind of sinner that Jesus died for. Guilty. Repent before God, meaning admit to him your guilt. I'm that sinner, Lord. And believe and trust in what Jesus did for you. Believe and trust in him. Praise God that the Father, nor the Son, nor the Holy Spirit are mean, but merciful, gracious, and loving. You can be saved tonight by obeying what the Lord says.